Hokey dokey. If you have a Bible, most of you will have a Bible, not a device. So Exodus chapter 33. If you'd like to turn that to that passage this morning, Exodus chapter 33, we'll start reading in verse 12. The good thing about devices, I can make it go really big. Don't need the giant print Bibles, as my eyesight is failing. 2020, eh? Bye. See ya. Good riddance. All these TV specials about how bad it was and all that kind of stuff. But to top it all off, my daughter rang up on December 31st and said, "Dad, I've locked myself out of the unit. Help." As that was like the tale, the crowning glory of 2020, my daughter locking herself out. Anyway, good riddance, 2020. 2021. My mantra has been 2021 is going to be the best year ever, like ever. I believe the blessings of God. I believe that God's going to do some great things. And as we begin 2021, I'd like to begin with an old Irish toast that says this: may you have the hindsight to know where you've been, the foresight to know where you are going, and the insight to know when you've gone too far. So as we look at Exodus 33, we're going to start reading verse 12 in just a moment. Insight and foresight depend on hindsight. You can't plan for the future unless you have some hindsight. You've learned some lessons from what's happened in the past. Yes, 2020's come and gone, but what have we learned from 2020? The Bible's a record of God working in people's lives. And they have had to have the foresight, but they also saw God in hindsight. Many times they didn't see God working in their midst. It's only as they saw in hindsight that God was there with them all along. And this is what this sermon's all about. God reveals to Moses a very powerful truth that we actually need today. That you can only see God working in hindsight. I want you to keep that thought in mind. We are never going to embrace future faith unless you and I are confident and remember that God was moving in 2020. Didn't look like it, but He was. So let's use this scripture as a basis. I want to preach on seeing God in hindsight this morning. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom will send. You will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and that you with your people unless you go with us? What else will you distinguish with me, will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked me because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass by in front of you and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But, he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place nearby you where you can stand on a rock. When my goodness passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Let's consider firstly the God who moves in mysterious ways. How many people remember the old movement, What Would Jesus Do? Remember you had a little bangle, WWJD, maybe you were in the fad, and every time you were in a pickle, wouldn't it be great if we had a little bangle right now, 2020? What would Jesus do in 2020? The fact is, you don't know what Jesus would do because he did things very, very differently every single time. Contradictory things. The fact is, you don't know what Jesus does because he's God and you don't know what God does. It's a nice little thing to embrace, but we don't know how God moves. We don't know how God does things. He does things in mysterious ways. And this is the great request that Moses asks of God, verses 13 and 15, show me your way, and if your presence doesn't go with us, leave us right here. How many know we need God's presence? All the prayers today, God, let your presence be with us. Let your blessing. We want to know that you are with us. Otherwise, we don't want to go anywhere. That's a good prayer. That's a regular prayer that needs to be uttered from our lips. Without this prayer, without this request, life makes no sense, at least for the Christian, at least. Highs and lows are without reason. There's no wisdom. There's no reason or rhyme to your life. But the expectation when we pray this prayer is that God will make a super highway from our request to its fulfillment. We want God to be with us every single way, and we want to know that God is with us. God is working in our midst. Isn't that right? We want all the details clearly laid out. We want angelic visitations. We want angels pointing the way. We're going this way. Angel says, no, you need to go this way. We want signs and wonders. The problem is we enter into the Gideon syndrome. You know what the Gideon syndrome is, don't you? Lord, if it's you, please make it rain on this sheepskin. Right, you made it rain. Okay, Lord, if it's really you, can you make it wet on the outside and the sheep can dry? All these little things we're going to test God with. It's the Gideon sin. We want sign. Show me these signs. But Jesus says an evil generation asks for these signs. You're asking for the wrong thing. See, there's a paradox in God's presence. And God reveals this to Moses. God says to him, yes, I will go with you, but you will not be able to see my face. Think about that with me for a moment. I am going to go with you. There's no question about that. I've called you. I've called you to a mission. I've called you to a purpose. I am going with you, but you will not be able to see my face. What's that all about? How many understand your face is the primary forms of recognition? You know, I know some of you recognize you from your back or sometimes from your side, but your face is like, I know who you are. I may not know your name, but I know your face. All the new faces, I don't know because I haven't seen you before. All the old faces, I know the faces. And that's your primary form of recognition. Literally, God says to Moses, I will go with you, but you're not going to be able to recognize me. Think about that for a moment. God is with us, but he works anonymously. He works anonymously in our lives and our circumstances. And you and I make the mistake that we think that God is only moving when it is obvious, when it's tangible, when it's visible, when it's measurable, when we see the signs and the wonders, when we see somehow our own form of recognition. Oh yes, this is God. We make a big mistake. God's not that easy to spot. He's not like a Lone Ranger, you know, the Lone Ranger leaves his calling card, or Zorro, you know, who's been here? Oh, it's Zorro, that's his mark. Or Superman, we recognize Superman, don't we? Because he's the man with a cape with a big S, not to be confused with Batman. He's the guy with a hood, and we don't recognize. all these superheroes, we know where they've been because they leave their calling cards. But God's not that way. He's not easily recognizable. He does things, but you don't know it's him. See, Samson did not know the glory had departed from his life until it was too late, until he was caught by the enemy, chained by the Philistines. Jacob, in a dream about a ladder, you remember that Jacob's dream? He says these words, God was in this place, but I did not know it. I did not recognize him. What about Jesus? I don't know, we see the little nativity scene and we sort of look at it now, but in those days, he didn't come the way people expected him to come. The Messiah doesn't come like that. He doesn't come in stables. He's supposed to be a king, for crying out loud. Where's the white horse? He didn't come the way they expected him to come, and they missed the hour of their visitation. They literally crucified the Lord of glory because they didn't recognize him. And he walked amongst them. The fact is, God moves in disguise. Now, most of you here will know who Alfred Hitchcock is. Alfred Hitchcock, the master of suspense and that movie genre, had the distinguished honor of appearing in every one of his movies. I don't know if you know about this fact. He made these little cameo appearances. Well, basically, he's the director. He's the one that's running the whole show. And yet, every one of his films from 1930-something to 1972, if you go on YouTube, the power of YouTube now, somebody has collected every one of his cameo appearances. I looked at it this morning. Hilarious. So you see one little scene. You know, the main action, all the things happening on the house, but then there's a little picture of him. He's a very portly gentleman. You can't miss him. If you blink, you will. He's having a little drink and he goes by. He's a little wedding reception. He has a little drink and goes by. In one of the little scenes, there's a little scene in a train compartment, and there's a couple playing cards. The main action, these are the main actors, but he's got the back of his face just barely recognizing him, and he's playing cards inside a train. He's the director of the movie. And just a little shot like that. Another scene, just walking by. Just a bypasser. When people found out about this, they mainly went to the movies, not to see the movie, but to actually spot. It's like, where's Wally? Where's Alfred? Oh, there he is! Forget about the movie. There's Alfred. We found Alfred. I thought about that. It's a great illustration to illustrate the fact that we're so engrossed in the details and the action of our life that we miss the cameo appearances, the very director himself in the set. You know, sometimes you can be so busy about life that you don't stop. I really appreciated what our sister and brother were saying. They were just out the back porch and say, oh my goodness, look at those galahs. Isn't that wonderful that God is in the galahs? The director made an appearance to them. They could have had all sorts of problems, but they stopped for a moment to notice the cameo appearance of the director. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? That you're so busy in the action, you're so busy in the trial, you're so busy trying to work out 2020, how we're going to survive 2020, that God is in our midst, but we don't recognize him. Abraham made the mistake many times in leaving God's place. But God anonymously appears in a dream to Abimelech. He moves out of the promised land, goes down to Egypt. God appears to Abimelech. Remember, he lies about his wife. She's my sister. Abimelech says, oh, she's a hot one. I need to have her in my harem. And God appears to him in a dream. You touch that woman, I'll kill you. And unbeknownst to Abraham, he had no idea. Story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. The crucifixion has happened. They're sad. They looked upon upon this Jesus, there's the promised Messiah. Now they're all upset, and Jesus is walking with them, this stranger. What's going on, guys? What's the news? Haven't you heard? They've crucified the Lord, and you know, we're hoping to him. And he begins to expound scripture, just talks scripture, just talks Bible from beginning with Moses and all the prophets. And they go home, and he breaks bread with them and disappears. And suddenly they realize, oh my goodness, it's the Lord. The cameo appearance of the director. So that's a reason for giving thanks. Now, some of you gave thanks for things you knew about. Thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for this. Thank you for healing so-and-so. But there's reason for giving thanks in my life when God has worked anonymously where I didn't even know. I can't give thanks for that because I don't know how he was working. It's a mystery. You know, all the things that God protected me from and I didn't even know it. Dumb purchases. I know there's a lot of dumb purchases that I've made that I'm really, really, really regretful for. But there's a lot of things that I've done because God has protected me. As for me to give a practical and specific story is impossible because God protected me from that. I didn't recognize him at the time. The fact is I'm still alive. And so are you. And I still have hope. That's a miracle. And God has preserved me and sustained me by the miracle of his grace. Very, very easy to forget that God is still working in our midst. God is still working in your midst. God is still with you. The name Emmanuel means God with us. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time, only the begotten Son who is the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. He is the Emmanuel. The book of Esther is a very classic example where God's name is not even mentioned once in that book, and yet you see his fingerprints all over it. God working in a person, in a nation. So the question is, why does he choose to work anonymously? Why doesn't he want to show his face? When Moses says, show me your glory, why does God say, you're not going to see my face. You're not going to recognize me. You're only going to see my back. Verse 20 reveals something here for us because God says to Moses, you cannot see me and live. That's a good reason not to see his face. Very simply put, you cannot see my face and live. God, in his mercy, protects us from his glory. Think about this. There's a zillion volts of electricity in God. And you asking God to reveal it, it's like the fullness of his glory, you cannot stand and live. That's who God is. And God in his mercy protects us from his glory. Sounds really strange, but if God revealed everything, we cannot stand in his presence. We just cannot. You know, the standard line of the atheist. God, why don't you show yourself, then I'll believe. You don't know what you're asking. You know that scene in the Raiders of the Lost Ark, the Nazis get the ark. Oh, we got the ark. What's in the ark? You know that scene. We've all seen that scene, haven't we? We finally got God. We got God in the box. You don't know what you're asking. God, reveal yourself to us. God in his mercy doesn't. Times in our ignorance, we say the same thing. God, show yourself. How many times have you said, God, I can't see you. I can't feel you. If you did, you're in trouble. Job's the classic story, isn't it? He's got boils. He's lost everything. He's got some comforters. Asking questions. How many? 38 chapters worth of questions. God, why? And then finally God answers him out of the whirlwind. Another story. Job, do you understand about how this works or that works? Do you understand how this... He's not able to stand with the physical manifestations of his glory, let alone the spiritual side of things. You know, when we look at the stars and all this stuff there, our mind just goes, you know, and Brian's talking about the theodolite. Is that what it is? That's about as technical as I'm going to get today, all right? Everything's in, it's like, what? That's just the physical side, let alone everything else that works around that. The other workings of God, the moral workings, the other stuff. God has to reveal himself in stages, otherwise we just go, can't handle. Imagine if God revealed everything to you when you got saved, right? This is what my plan for your life is. You're going to marry this person, you're going to go here. No way, Jose, no way is that going to happen. How do I know that? Because Moses. God says to Moses, of course, no, here am I, Lord, send somebody else. No, this is not for me. God has to reveal things in stages. We cannot deal with the fact that God wants to use our lives and wants to make something of us. In our text in verse 21, God in his mercy says, I'm going to pass my goodness by you, but I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock. Literally, I'm going to put you in a cave in a dark place to protect you from the full brunt of my glory. God says to Moses, you cannot see my face, but I will still reveal my goodness to you. I'm going to put you in a dark place to protect you from my glory. There's a clear lesson for us here this morning, because God keeps us in dark places for our protection. Are you in a dark place this morning? You are there because of God's protection. Joseph, as a young man, 17 years of age, wild dreams. He's got the fancy clothes. He's got the cloak. He has these prophecies. You guys are going to bow down before me. Imagine if he became king then as a 17-year-old with all that pride and all that arrogance. What a horrible king he would have been. Like Trump, I suppose. I'm intelligent. Look at how intelligent I am. Look how wonderful I am. Pride and arrogance. That's not really good qualities for a king, is it? What did God have to do? He had to put him through the darkness of the pit and the darkness of the prison, forgotten. God was still with him, wasn't he? Every step of the way. And finally, he does become king. And in hindsight, he says, you guys have caused it for evil, but God has chosen it for good. But in the process, there was a pit, there was a dungeon before he became a leader in Egypt. Same trajectory for the King David. Bible says he was in the cave. It had a name, the cave of Adullam, where everybody who was in distress, everybody who was in debt, everybody who was in contented gathered to him, so he became captain over them. There were about 400 men. Think about this. You want to be the king of Israel. The only people you attract are those that are in distress, in debt, and discontented. There was a period in his time where God was protecting him for his full glory. Elijah was in the cave, protected him, and taught him to listen to the still small voice. Eventually, all of us will spend time in a cave. Might not be your preference, but it's for your protection where you will learn to trust. And the thing is, we're talking about trust. The issue of trust is, do we trust God's goodness in the cave, in the dark place? In our text, in verse 19, the Bible says, my goodness shall pass by. And God says, I will have grace and I will have compassion. One of the greatest things you will find difficult with, especially in those difficult times in the cave, when you don't feel God's presence, when you don't recognize Him. God, are you still good? Do you still have plans for me? Those plans are still for good, aren't they? They're not for evil, are they? You know, the children of Israel struggled with God's goodness, trying to believe God's goodness. He brought us out here to kill us. That was their conclusion. Elijah. God had a plan for Elijah. His prayer is, God, I wish I was dead. Take me out. David, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. The disciples in the boat, don't you care that we are perishing when the wind is... People have trouble trusting in God's goodness. As the question this morning is, have you settled the issue that God's plans for you are still for good? God's plans for you in 2021 are to give you a future and a hope. Or is He still trying to kill you? Listen, can I just settle something for you this morning? If God wanted you dead, He would have finished you off long ago. If God wanted your destiny dead, He would have just completed it. If He wanted this church dead, He would have wiped it out long ago. You've been through many trials and tribulations, I know. I've got the emails. If He wanted this church dead, He would have finished it long ago. Which brings me to the final thought. You need to trust in the God of hindsight. The God of hindsight. In verse 23, the Bible says, When I take my hand away, my goodness shall pass by. You're not going to recognize my face, but when I take my hand away, you're going to see my back. You're going to see my back. And I contend with you this morning that it's only possible to see God's work in hindsight. When you've been through some things. You won't see God working in your life right now. You won't see it, even though He is. You won't necessarily feel His goodness, even though He is. But when you've been through some things, when you've been through that cave, that darkness, you'll see God doing something very, very powerful. There are some things that God doesn't want you to know. God doesn't want you to see. Ecclesiastes 11:5 says, as you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. You're not going to understand God's mysterious ways. You're not. Settle it. In the same way that Joseph, it was only in hindsight that he could say, you guys meant it for evil. My life has been through a horrible cave. But God turned it around for good to save many, many people. He brought a strategy to wipe out the famine in the land of Egypt. It was God's strategy. God knew it from the beginning. God used Joseph. But Joseph saw in hindsight that certain people meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. While Jesus on the cross, on this side of the cross, all the disciples abandoned Him. Jesus was left on His own. Post the resurrection, disciples believed it was the power of God. This side of the cross was a stumbling block. How could this be the Messiah? On this side of the cross, this is foolishness. How can we trust in this? This is failure. Post the cross and the resurrection, the disciples in hindsight could see, wow, it is the power of God. There's a Zechariah prophecy. It says this, they will mourn. Talk about the Jews. They will mourn and look to Him whom they have pierced. that the Jewish nation right now, they've got scales over their eyes, but there's going to come a time where they're going to see Jesus, who he was. They're going to look upon him whom they appear. This history of torment, this history of somehow feeling that God's abandoned them, is going to come to a glorious conclusion in the last days. We haven't got time to talk about that today. But the glorious conclusion and God's plan for the Jews will be fulfilled only as they see God's work in hindsight. They're going to see him whom they have pierced, and they're going to mourn. They're going to see who he was. Romans 8:28, we like to quote that. But Paul's confidence, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, are only as Paul sees God working in hindsight, what God has brought him through so far. So what about your situation? Are you in a situation you feel God has abandoned you? Where you don't recognize his working? Maybe this whole year has been like this year of COVID madness. Can I suggest to you, maybe that's the way God designed it? Maybe the darkness you've experienced so far is God protecting you and preserving you until he reveals his glory as you've been through this. And when he takes his hand away, he says, oh, wow, I get it now. This is awesome. I know why I had to go through this. So without this understanding, you'll be in a constant state of despair, frustration, and disillusionment. Can you say in hindsight that the direction God has taken you so far has been the best? Or the other alternative is your perfect plan, the one you've designed. You know, the one you pray for, that perfect plan. The only option you have is God's perfect plan or your perfect plan. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God. That is your reasonable or your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, the acceptable and perfect will of God for your lives. The only way you're going to accept the perfect will of God is to offer up your body as a living sacrifice. God, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand your ways. I don't recognize your ways, but I'm offering up my body to you. And you will never know and you'll never see God's plan as perfect unless you are totally submitted as a living sacrifice. Only God can see the beginning from the end. All you can see is now. All you can see is what's happened in the past. If you view it through the lens of your frustration, you're going to continue 2021 with the same lens, with the same expectations, with the same conclusions. If you, in hindsight, say, hang on, I've seen, that's all right, God was working. If you take that mentality, if you take that confidence into 2021, 2021, 2022 is going to be an awesome year. It's going to be an awesome conclusion to your life. There are times when God reveals the aspects of his plan, but more often than not, you won't recognize his working. I can guarantee you're not recognizing him right now. He is there with you, but you're not recognizing him. But have faith. Because if you open up the eyes of faith, like that scripture says, God, open up the eyes of our understanding that we may know the hope of your calling. God can reveal some very, very powerful things for you. I close with this. Do you know that heaven is going to be a time of tremendous celebration? You know why? Not because I know finally we've made it. We've made heaven. That's it. We've made it. But I reckon the glorious celebration will be this. I don't know, just indulge me for a moment. That we're in heaven. We're on this side of life. We're in this side of God's plan. Everything that God has planned has come to a glorious conclusion. We finally made it. I think the celebration will be as we look back, not only through Bible stories, but our own life. Wow. It couldn't have been done better. I reckon that's going to be the time of celebration. God, you did it perfectly. As we look back in hindsight, rejoicing in his perfect plan for our lives, not our perfect plan. So in the meantime, it's an opportunity to look back. January 3rd, this morning. How many of you have broken your New Year's resolutions already? 3 days in. I've done it. It's not an issue. Just an opportunity. Just pause from today. Take time to pause. Maybe just during the end of the day. Maybe the end of the week. Maybe this whole year. The season. Maybe you've been in a cave in a dark place. But by faith, as you see how God has worked in the Bible, use that as a template, see how he's worked in your own life, in hindsight, it will give you the necessary faith to work out his perfect plan in 2021. And the greatest promise that we have is that we're going to see him as he is. At the moment, we're looking through a dark glass. We're going to see him, we're going to see his face. We're going to be prepared to see his face. It's going to be an awesome, awesome time. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes this morning. Seeing God in hindsight. God says to Moses, you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Because no man can see me and live. All we have in this life is glimpses, little glimpses of his glory. And God in his mercy puts us in a dark place, in the cleft of a rock. Protect us from the awesomeness of his glory. We're not going to see him in fullness in this life. We're not. We just cannot. We've got to settle some things. But we are going to see him as he is. But in the meantime, we can look in hindsight how he has worked. For many of you this morning, you've lived a long life. You have lots of opportunity to look how God has worked in your life. The little touches. The little miracles. And also we've got to settle the fact that he's still working in your life, but maybe you're not recognizing how he's working in your life right now. That's okay. Maybe you don't see him or feel him the way you used to. That's okay. God is doing a new thing. A new thing. That's why it's important at the end of a day, a week, a season, a year, to look back, to reflect, and try to put some things together in preparation for what God wants to do this year. So a simple challenge this morning. Simple challenge, and the challenge is this. Don't forget God's goodness. When you're in that cave, when you're in that dark place, God's goodness is passing by. God is a good God. God is a faithful God. Don't throw out God's goodness. psalmist says, I almost stumbled when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When I look at how the wicked, how this world, they seem to be prospering. It wasn't until I went to the house of God that I got my perspective right. I saw their end. Maybe you've stumbled. Maybe you're on the verge of stumbling. Can I encourage you to trust in God's goodness, to persevere in God's goodness, and trust that 2021 is going to be an awesome year? Let's just spend a minute just reflecting at the moment. God is causing images to go past by you right now. 2020, the events of 2020, conversations, people, things, they're passing by right now. You felt you're in the dark place. But I want you to see those events in the light of God's goodness. As the year